Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. It's a beautiful, cold day in Chicago, but we can't complain about this kind of weather. We haven't seen any snow yet, and let's hope that we won't. Our guest today is an old buddy of mine, Moose Garin, who was a great ball player in the major leagues, spent most of his years with the New York Yankees. But he was a guy who was really well-liked by everybody in the majors, and it's always a pleasure to see him. What are you doing now, Moose?
Bob, I work for Litton Financial Printing. We're a subsidiary list of Litton Industries, and what I do is I sell documents to banks and savings and loans.
Sell any here?
Well, I tried to get in.
You're in there with the boss.
I'll get in here someday. One of these days I will. But no, I'd work part-time for the Secretary of State. I work with the Youth Division, make appearances at grammar schools and talk about bicycle safety.
Well, that's good.
Yes, I'm very happy. Chicago's been great to me. You know, this is our home, and the people out here have been always nice to me.
Let's get back a little bit in your career. Where did it all start?
Well, I would say it started here in Chicago on the northwest side on Long and Fullerton. I went to St. Stanislaus Bishop and Martyr Grammar School and played a little athletics at Hanson Park, and Frank McGrath, who was our basketball coach at Weber High School, gave me a scholarship to go to Weber, and that was my whole start. I went to Weber, and after my second year, Mr. McGrath went to DePaul High School, and I played for Al McGuff and a coach by the name of Wally Lynch. Never played baseball in Chicago because the Catholic schools at that time didn't have baseball, so I only participated in football and basketball. I went to Purdue on a football scholarship. Played football, basketball, and baseball at Purdue. And after my sophomore year, I won the Big Ten batting championship. I hit 500. And the Purdue University had me go play semi-pro ball in Austin, Minnesota. So I left home, went to Minnesota, first time I ever was away from home. And a good old Yankee scout by the name of Burley Grimes and Joe McDermott found me out there, offered me a bonus of $25,000, and I quit school. And the Cub Scout saw me hit four home runs off of four different pitchers in one game. He didn't offer me a contract. Sox Scout Doug Miner didn't like my dad, so he didn't offer me a contract. And I thank God every night that Joe McDermott and Burley Grimes found me in Minnesota. And from that day on, I played 17 years of professional ball. And I don't regret a day that I played.
What managers did you play for with the Yankees?
Casey Stengel, who I owe everything to, Bob, as you know, a great man, and he passed away a couple of years ago. But Casey told me, he says, Moose, you sign up with the Yankees, I'll have you here in 3 years in the major leagues. And I spent 3 years in the minor leagues, and I come up in 1954 with the Yankees, and he managed me for 7 years. We won six pennants out of the 7 years, and then he got fired, and Ralph Houk come along, and Ralph Houk was my manager. And I got traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. I played for Walt Alston, great man. 64, I got traded to the Washington Senators, played under Gil Hodges. Was there 2 months. And one of my big throws was coming to Chicago. I got traded to the White Sox in 64 under Al Lopez, who we lost a pennant that year by one game, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. We beat the Yankees 4 in a row on a weekend. That's when Phil Lenz got on a bus and started playing a harmonica. And Yogi Berra and Frank Rossetti got in a fight with them. And I guess this motivated the Yankees. The Yankees won 11 in a row to end the season. We won 9 in a row to end the season. We lost the pennant by one game.
that's really quite a story.
Well, the reason I cherish that year in my mind is because I'd have been in three different World Series with three different clubs. And that would have been a record. Maybe I'd have a chance to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame that you're in, because I don't think I'll ever get in that one. And I just want to congratulate you in your honor of being in the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
And the one I honor now more than probably the regular Hall of Fame is because I don't think I'll ever get in there, is I just got inducted into the National Polish Hall of Fame out of Detroit, Michigan. And I cherish that very much. Me and Ziggy Zarabski from Notre Dame.
Oh.
We were both inducted.
Well, that's a great honor.
Yes, sir.
Moose, you had some great years in the big leagues. What one or two things do you recall about your career?
Well, I would say the year that Roger Maris hit 61 home runs, that was probably the greatest Yankee team to ever assemble ball players. Roger hit 61. Mickey Mantle hit 54. Moose hit 28. Elston Howard hit 22. Yogi Berra hit 21. And a guy by the name of Johnny Blanchard hit 21. We hit more home runs in that year than anybody in baseball. And being traded to the Dodgers in 63, after being with the Yankees for 12 years, beating the Yankees in a World Series four straight with Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, and Johnny Padres. That's got to be a career that I'll never forget. I mean, I always kid Ernie Banks. You know, Ernie played in Chicago, never was in a World Series, and I feel sorry for him. I was very fortunate to be in 8 World Series out of 14 years. So I've got a lot of mementos.
Boy, I should say so. That's really some career.
Yes, I've been lucky. Everything's turned out fine. As you know, my birthday was 2 days ago. I hit the half a century mark, and thank God my health has been great. I haven't had any problems as far as being sick, so everything's gone along good.
Well, you look like you could still play if you had to.
I'd be a millionaire today, Bob. I mean, I don't begrudge the modern-day ball players. If they can make that kind of money, God bless them. I think the owners created the monster. And I was a cheap ball player. I wanted to play. And I was very happy in the time that I gave my time to baseball because it was the good old days. Not like now. Everybody's out for their money. And Dave Winfield can sign a $13 million contract. I just can't believe it. If he was a superstar, I'd say fine. But this guy's a 270 hitter. And we'll find out this summer how he does. Next summer.
Hitting 270, right?
270. My lifetime average was 284. And if I counted 3 years in the minor leagues, my lifetime average would be 300. But what gets me is I hit 300 3 years in a row at the Yankees. I never got a raise. They said, Moose, you don't want to play. Stay home. I was a cheap ball player. But and the fans were great. I mean, the people in Chicago, when I got here, they gave me the Moose call. I know my grandmother used to cry. She thought that they were booing me, but that was a nickname that I received when I was a young boy living on the Northwest Side. Grandpa shaved off all my hair. I was completely bald. And when I got outside, everybody started calling me Mussolini. At that time, he was the dictator of Italy. And that name stayed with me. My sister, they called Queen Marie, and my brother, they called Hitler. That was our nicknames. Our Polish people, we always had nicknames.
Well, you had some prominent names in there.
That's right. But everything's turned out good, Bob. I know I've been very fortunate. I've got two wonderful boys and a daughter. One boy is 27, lives in Phoenix, Arizona. My other son, who is 23, is graduating from Columbia University in New York. He's getting his master's degree in finance and business, and he graduates in May. And my daughter's 12 years old, and last week she made the grammar school basketball team. And I'm real proud of that. I never helped her out. I never pushed my children. Whatever they wanted to do, they did on their own.
As you look back over your own career, are managers pretty much alike the way they approach the way the game should be played?
I would say so. You know, years ago when Casey Stengel was our manager, with the ballplayers we had, Casey used to sleep on the bench. Well, you know that. He had a bad night after a ball game or something, have a few drinks and that, and the next morning he'd get in a little bit late, but on the bench he'd be sleeping because he knew that he had 25 ball players that had good ability, and we always were taught to win. And when I joined the Yankees in 1954, you remember Hank Bauer and Gene Woodling. They got me in a room, and they says, Moose, you better take care of yourself. You better not break curfew. He says, we're out to win a pennant and participate in the World Series. And that's the way it was. Nowadays, these guys don't even talk to each other. One man is mad because this guy's making more money than he is, and they got troubles. I'm glad I'm out of it. I wouldn't go back into baseball anymore. My future, I mean, not my future, but my playing days, we played when baseball was baseball. I mean, we used to come to Chicago four times a year. We drew 600,000 people. People in Chicago love to see the Yankees lose. Yeah. But we had people out there, and it was great at that time.
Well, the Yankees have always been a drawing card.
Last year they drew, this past summer, they drew 2.5 million people at home, and they drew 2.5 million people on the road. And they signed a 5-year contract with a station, a TV station in New York, for $5 million a year. So the Yankees, they're spending money. I was hoping that Mr. DeBartolo would have taken the club here in Chicago, because Bob, we need a winner here. I mean, our people come out to the ball games. They draw $1.5 million with a last place club on the north side. They draw $1.5 million on the south side, and we lose. And I think we get an owner here that will spend some money. We're going to have a winner someday.
I was pulling for DeBartola. I think he would have been a real asset to the game.
I was, too. The articles that I read about him, the man's worth a lot of money, and he wants to bring a winner here in Chicago. And I don't like to get in on that with Mr. Bowie Kuhn because I'm out of the game, and like I said before, it was good to me in my time. Now I have memories of my career, but as far as the modern-day ball player, I get angry when a guy makes a lot of money and doesn't hustle. I mean, if he hits a fly ball and he stops running to first base and the center fielder drops the ball, he should be on second base. But they're making so much money, they don't have to worry about sleepless nights. If I went 0-for-4, I'd be worried how that pitcher got me out. But see, they make so much money, they get it twice a month. They don't have to worry about anything.
Our guest today at Northwest Federal is an old friend, Moose Garron, former Major League great. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today at Northwest Federal is a former Major League great ball player, Moose Garron. Fella's always been one of my favorites. And everybody loved Casey Stengel. What about a few stories about him?
Well, I remember Casey told me, he says, Moose, he says, listen. He says, you're leading our club in double plays. I led the club 1 year hitting to 22 double plays. He said, you took me out of a lot of big innings, and I was a pull hitter. And he says, you don't learn how to hit the right field. He says, you're going to the minor leagues. And that's when I started to hit the right field, and he made me a believer. Because I hit balls the right field that I couldn't believe that it would go that far. And he says, Moose, you got to change your stance. And this is the way it was. I went 0-for-40 in the major leagues, and I was down in the dumps. And Casey says, Moose, he says, listen. He says, I don't care if you go 0-for-200. He says, you're playing every day. Then I went 1-for-60. I went 1-for-60 in the major leagues. I finished the season hitting .319. There was a ball player on our team by the name of a coach who was named Charlie Keller, King Kong Keller, and great man. And he come up to me, and he joined the Yankees in about June. And he says, Moose, he says, what's the problem? I says, Charlie, I says, I don't know. I says, I'm in a slump. I went 22 out of, I got 22 hits out of 24 times of bat against Cleveland on a weekend. And that made me, and he made me a believer. He was a type of a coach that if you had a good day, he would never bother you. Never congratulate you or anything. He'd go to the guy that went 0-for-4 or 0-for-5 and motivate that man. Because if I get 4-for-5 in a game, I know my name's going to be in the paper. I don't have to worry about it. But that 0-for-5, I got to motivate him, right? And that's the way Charlie Keller was. We thought he'd become a Yankee manager when Casey retired. I know everybody wanted him.
Well, he was a great ball player himself. Really a fine hitter.
And Casey, going back to him, like I said, Bob, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be up here right now talking to you because he's the one that motivated me. He found a position for me to play. I started out my career as a shortstop. I made too many errors. They moved me to third base. They had Gil McDougall, Bobby Brown, Billy Johnson, Andy Carey, Kel Sechrist. Casey said, Moose, we got too many third basemen. He said, how would you like to play left field? I went to left field. They had Charlie Keller. They had Hank Bauer, Gene Woodling, Mickey Mantle. I said, where am I going to play? Casey says, Moose, I'll buy you a brand new first baseman, Smith. He says, I want you to learn how to play first base because Joe Collins was a left-handed hitter. And I says, Casey, I never played first base. He said, listen, we got a dance studio called Fred Astaire right next to the Serena Hotel in St. Pete. He says, I want you to go and learn how to dance and shift your legs. And I went there twice a week to learn how to dance. And Johnny Newman was my first base coach, who was a scout at that time. And that made me make the big league. So he did see something in me, Bob, that he wanted to get out. And he got it. And Casey used a lot of psychology on ball players. I remember the first day I was hitting cleanup in Yankee Stadium, my first year with the Yankees, and Billy Heft was pitching. Bases are loaded, and I'm hitting fourth. I'm honored, you know, hitting right behind Mickey Mantle. Gil McDougall got a base hit. Rizzuto got a bunt single. They walked Mickey to get to me. So they called timeout. They brought in a right-handed pitcher. And I heard a whistle from the dugout. Casey was calling me back to the bench. He put in Eddie Robinson, who was a White Sox player, took my position. I was so angry, I'd come in the dugout. I never had anybody pinch hit for me, especially at Yankee Stadium, the first game I played in. Took me out for a pinch hitter. I threw the bat at Casey in the dugout. I went in the clubhouse, changed my clothes, went to the hotel. I heard Eddie Robinson got a double with the bases loaded. We beat the Detroit Tigers 3-0, and I'm mad. The next day I come to the park. I walk in the clubhouse, and Casey says, "Moose, come to my office." I walked in his office. He slammed the door, and he talked to me in real good plain English. You know, he gave a lot of double talk. But when he tore me apart, he talked real good plain English. He says, "Don't you ever do that to me again." He says, "I'm out to win a ball game, and I don't care how your feelings are hurt." He says, "We win." And I never questioned that man again. He did that to Tony Kubek one day. Tony hit it with the bat. He hit Casey in the shins. Cause Casey took him out for a pinch hitter. And what happened, McDougal pinch hit for Kubek and he got a base hit. So the next day, Casey crucified Kubek in the newspapers and Tony comes to the ballpark so motivated cause he's angry. Tony hit 2 home runs the next day. That's the way Casey was. Because we had the guys on a team, and we played together as a team. There was nobody jealous of one another. If Mickey Mantle or Yogi was making $100,000 a year, we played to win. And that's what was the success of the Yankees in the years that I was there.
Yogi was one of the greatest hitters I ever saw from the sixth inning on.
He was the greatest Yankee clutch hitter. I'm not too crazy about Little League. I mean, when you take a guy like myself, Hank Aaron was a bad ball hitter. Yogi Berra would hit home runs, balls thrown at his toes, over his head. Good clutch man. And as far as Little League, I always tell kids when they go out and play, swing at anything that they throw. Don't find the strike zone. How are you going to learn how to hit if you don't swing the bat? And that's the information. I know the managers don't like that when I talk to the Little Leaguers, but I don't like to see them get walks. If I was managing a team, a Little Leaguers, I would tell them, I don't want no walks. If you get a walk, I'm not buying you a McDonald's hamburger or whatever there is. I want the kids to swing the bat. It's the only way they're going to learn how to hit. I swung at anything they threw. There was one pitcher with the Sox I hated to face. That was early win. Every time I'd come up to the plate, he'd hit me in the ribs. And he'd laugh about it. He'd say, "Moose, rub it." And I says, I wouldn't give him the satisfaction. But he threw such a heavy ball, it would just burr into my ribs. And that night I'd have marks, black and blue marks, and put ice on it and everything else. And I never rubbed any time I got hit by a pitch ball.
Were you playing in the Ted Lyons years?
No, that was, but Bob, that's before, no. I wasn't around at that time. The only guy I wish I had played as my teammate, who I respect as the greatest Yankee to wear a Yankee uniform, and that was Mr. Joe DiMaggio. I've always respected this man. And he's been always so nice to me, and I had the pleasure to go out with him and his wife, Marilyn Monroe. And I never was so thrilled in my life. I shaved 4 times that day. Because when I met her, and I'll tell you, she was pretty.
Well, he was, I thought, and I still do, that he was the greatest all-around ball player I ever saw.
That's why I know Joe D never said too much, but he hated guys that hit fly balls and didn't run the ball out. Instead of him saying words, he'd stare with his eyes, and then you would never do that again. Because I heard stories. Yogi Berra hit a fly ball one day. The center fielder dropped the ball. Yogi didn't even reach first base. And Yogi should have been on second. So when the inning was over with, saw Yogi walk to put his shin guards on, and Joe DiMaggio just stared him down. Yogi never did that again. He was a great motivator, just with his eyes.
What was Casey Stengel like on the bench?
Casey would, well, remember in Chicago here, you guys had the scoreboard, you'd hit a home run and all the rockets go off. Well, Casey and the trainer made a deal that they said that when a Yankee hits a home run, they're going to get sparklers. And Hector Lopez hit 2 home runs that day, and Casey was in the dugout running up and down, lighting these sparklers and throwing them on the field. But Casey would do those little things to motivate the ball players. I know when Billy Martin was a teammate of mine, when we were in a slump, Casey would say, "Billy, get in a fight. If somebody threw a pitch close to you, start a fight. If a guy slides into second base and you think it was a hard slide, start a fight. Get these guys motivated." And Billy Martin was our motivator through Casey. But Casey he hated to lose. When we lost the ball game, we didn't talk to each other for an hour and a half, 2 hours. You saw when you come in a clubhouse when we got beat. Nobody said a word to anybody. Until Casey started putting on his putting on his shorts, then we'd know we could start laughing or having a good time. But for 2 hours, it was tough. He was a great man.
Oh, he really was.
He must be turning over with all these salaries these guys are getting. Right?
Boy, I should say so. It's really, what's the most money you ever made?
The most money I ever made in the major leagues was my last 4 years. I made $50,000 a year. That was in 64, 5, 6, and 67. And I meet people now in business, and they said, Moose, that was a lot of money in those days. And I said, well, give it to me now. I said, I'll live damn good, but nobody offers me a job like that, right? I could live on that kind of money now, but I'd rather, I don't want to go back in my career. I mean, it'd be nice to play ball now, but in our times, it was better than it is now.
Our guest today, and we've been delighted to have him, an old friend and a great ball player, Moose Garron, who now resides in our area, and it's always nice to see him. Remember, there's a lot of action today on television and radio and sports, so have a happy day. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.